Okay, we are up to week number three now in the book of Job, as we've been going through this. And so we started this one 2 weeks ago, and I put out at that time a reading schedule, and there are bookmarks that are still at the Welcome Center for that. But if you have been following along with that, you know that we are almost halfway through, so we're getting there, right? We're over that edge now to where we start to see the end of that coming, and we're in the home stretch of it. So stay with it as we go through that, because as I've acknowledged before, and if you've been reading along the last few weeks, maybe you're figuring this out too, that Job can be a difficult book to read through. That this is not the easiest reading that we can do, but here it is, part of God's Word, part of God's Scripture. So there's something in there for us, God's people. And that's what we've been digging into. So we continue through that today. You know, as I have opportunity every now and then to connect with people who are school teachers, and I do have a certain amount of friends who that's what they do. They teach in school, and sometimes they share, so you know, the things that bring them joy and accomplishment in that. And often what I hear from people who do that for a profession, one of the joys, one of the accomplishments that they love about it is seeing those moments when students get it, understand, right? So if it's subject material that they're presenting and at first a student receives it and says, this makes no sense, I don't get this, where is this? But at some point, when students start to see it, start to get it, start to understand it, they love that aha moment, if you've heard of it referred to that way. Or maybe referred to as like when the light bulb goes on. Right, the switch is flipped, and suddenly, what made no sense before, now I get it. Now it makes sense. Oh, now I see it. Teachers love that, at least when they talk to me about the job that they do and some of that. And you know what? The same thing is true in our life of faith as well, that there are these moments in our life of faith where things that maybe seemed confusing at one point and we didn't get to there. There are those moments where we grow and suddenly, oh, I think I get that now. Oh, that makes sense now. Oh, I see that now. And I think when I talk to teachers about how that works, more often than not, they would tell me that it's not actually a moment, but it's gradual. So this thing that we talk about is, you know, a light bulb goes on, or, you know, the switch is flipped, may not be the most accurate way to think about it, because actually as they describe it, maybe it's more like one of those dimmer light bulbs where the dimmer switch just sort of slowly, gradually slides up, and gradually over time, it becomes brighter and brighter. And that too is significant for us as people of faith. Now, I know in Scripture we have examples like Saul of Tarsus, right? Saul, who became the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, who has this dramatic conversion event while riding on the road to Damascus, and comes to a point where Jesus reveals himself to Paul, and all of a sudden, Paul's faith does a complete 180, a complete turn in a single moment. I know we have stories like that. A story like that is in the Bible. And I know there are people in the world who have stories like that too. But I want to acknowledge that that is more often the exception than it is the norm. That I think when we think about it, for each one of us, think about our own lives of faith, that I don't know that we, for the most part, point to one moment where everything went from confusion and misunderstanding to, now I get it all, and it makes sense. No, I think for each one of us, in our own lives of faith, when you think about your own story of faith, we see those gradual steps, don't we? That there were moments along the way that moved it along, but it was always a progression that was taking place as we grew in faith together. This is significant because I think we see this in Job. That Job himself is showing us a progression, a gradual progression. Things are starting to unravel and then make sense for Job and where he's at and what he's going through. So we're going to see that today, right, as we go through this. We've been through a couple messages already, and we're kind of stuck in the middle of the book of Job, where it feels like things are just spinning in circles and not going anywhere. But I'm going to pick three passages today that show a progression, right? That if we're paying attention as we read this, look at how Job is changing, how he's developing his sense of faith and where all that goes. So, three passages that I am selecting today from chapter 9, from chapter 16, and from chapter 19. All of these passages are words of Job himself. So Job is the one speaking in these passages. And here's what I want us to do as we read through these. See if you can spot and see if you can notice how Job's faith is developing. What's changing? What's progressing? Where is he going through his struggles through this moment, right? Something is progressing in Job's life of faith as he goes through this. So, before we read these together, would you join me in prayer? Let's pray. God, this is your word. And God, we open here in the book of Job a book of the Bible that we admit is tough to read and can be confusing. So God, we know we need your Holy Spirit to help us understand how these words in this book written so long ago apply to us yet today. So speak the meaning of those words to us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so progressions in Job's own understanding of God and faith. Starting in chapter 9, here's what it says in chapter 9. I'm going to read verses 25 to 35. Job says this, "My days are swifter than a runner. They fly away without a glimpse of joy. They skim past like boats of papyrus, like eagles swooping down on their prey. If I say, I will forget my complaint and I will change my expression and smile, I still dread all my sufferings. For I know you will not hold me innocent. Since I am already found guilty, why should I struggle in vain? Even if I washed myself with soap and my hands with cleansing powder, you would plunge me into a slime pit so that even my clothes would detest me. He is not a mere mortal like me that I might answer him, that we might confront each other in court. If only there were someone to mediate between us, someone to bring us together, someone to remove God's rod from me so that this terror would frighten me no more. Then I would speak up without fear of him. But as it now stands with me, I cannot." That's where Job is at in chapter 9. Now I'm going to jump ahead to chapter 16, so not that much further in the story. But see where Job is going with this now. Chapter 16, I'm beginning at verse 15. Job says this, "I have sewed sackcloth over my skin and buried my brow in the dust. My face is red with weeping. Dark shadows ring my eyes. Yet my hands have been free of violence, and my prayer is pure. Earth, do not cover my blood. May my cry never be laid to rest. Even now, my witness is in heaven. My advocate is on high. My intercessor is my friend, as my eyes pour out tears to God. On behalf of a man, he pleads with God as one pleads for a friend." Then moving ahead, now to chapter 19. Job still speaking these words. See if you can spot what is developing here. Job says this, "Oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead or engraved in rock forever. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end, he will stand on the earth. After my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. All right, did you see it? The progression that takes place here in these words from Job. I mean, we just sort of cherry-picked out some selections as it went along. So if you've been reading this through day by day in the scheduled readings, I don't know, maybe it sort of gets thrown into the mix because this is woven in with all of the other conversation that's happening in the book of Job. But there's something going on, if you look at just these passages we pulled out today, that Job is progressing somewhere, and his faith is developing. It's moving somewhere. He's figuring something out. Because we've been reading in this story of Job, and we're in this part where it just feels like it's spinning in circles and not going anywhere. And Job just feels stuck where he's at, and he has no escape from it, and he has no answer for why. But in that moment, something is happening, right? And I think that's intentional. I think it's intentional that the author who writes this book writes it that way. Because the author of Job wants us to feel like we're stuck in that same place where Job is stuck. That's intentional. That maybe it's for our benefit that we read those chapters and we just feel like, ugh, I'm just not getting anywhere through this because they just keep saying the same things over and over again and nothing changes. That's the point. That we need to know and experience and feel for ourselves being stuck like that where Job is. So that when we start to see some of these other things, some of these other glimpses of Job working his way through this, that's instructive for us then too. That as Job works through this and finds some things out, that's for us to find some things out too of where this goes. The author of Job wants us to be in that moment along with that. And we do see here that Job is beginning to develop this understanding of where he's at and where he's going. And it comes from him figuring out that he'd been wrong before. Wrong in what he thinks about God in those ways. And we saw this over the last 2 weeks. So if you've been with us the last 2 weeks, this is sort of the review piece. That what we've seen in the opening chapters of this letter, that Job and his friends who come to visit him all have a very particular idea in their mind of exactly who God is and exactly how God is supposed to work. And it all works by what I called last week, what biblical scholars call the retribution principle. The idea that God is a God of justice, and God's justice means this, that God always rewards righteousness, and God always punishes wickedness. That's the idea of God that they have in mind. So when Job's friends come to him, because that's how they think about God, there's only one conclusion they have, and we've seen that, right? His friends say, Job, you messed up. You must have sinned. There's no other explanation possible because that's how they think of who God is and how God works. And Job, who himself thinks that about God too, is now wrestling with it. And he's wrestling with it because he doesn't know what he did wrong. That's why in those opening chapters, over and over again, Job's complaint is, God, show me what I did. Reveal it to me. Because if I did something wrong and I'm being punished for it, I need to know what that wrong thing is. That's what's going on over and over and over in those opening chapters. And Job is reaching a point where he's starting to recognize maybe there's something else here. Maybe, just maybe, this idea that he and his friends have in mind about how God's justice works isn't the full picture. Maybe Job is missing something along the way. And he's starting to recognize a few things while that happens. What is he recognizing? Well, he's recognizing, first of all, if you see it in the passages that we read here today, that he can't do this alone. Right? That's the thing that comes to him. I mean, I picked a few passages out today that specifically talk about Job needing somebody else to be there with him, by his side, on his behalf. Because so far, his friends have not been that. Not at all. His friends have just been accusing him over and over again. So he's not getting any help from his friends. But in all of that, in the beginning chapters, Job just brings himself, right? I'm going to plead my case before God. I'm going to bring myself before God, and I'm going to insist before God my own innocence. I mean, Job brings that as his own need in the beginning. And we're seeing a few examples now to where Job is starting to recognize, really, if it comes down to me, just myself, being the one to come before God, I can't stand. I can't do it. There is no way that I alone can bring the weight of what I'm dealing with before God unless there is somebody else that comes along. So Job understands that, and he understands that in language that we can see, right? Language that says he's beginning to realize the only way forward now. If you saw it in the passages we read, uses these three words, which all point to the same thing. That Job is beginning to recognize he needs a mediator. He needs an intercessor. He needs an advocate. Right? In all three of those passages that we read today, that comes up. That's what's developing. This is where Job is at in his life of faith. Recognizing, I can't do this alone. I need someone on my behalf coming alongside. Someone who can help me in this. But even this is a progression, right? It's not that light bulb flipped moment and one moment he didn't get it, the next moment he does. It is a gradual progression. Did you catch that? Look at this one again then, okay? So, recognizing how this works. First of all, in chapter 9, the first chapter that we looked at, this is what he says about it in chapter 9, about this mediator. Just these three verses from that section. Job says, if only there were someone to mediate between us, someone to bring us together, someone to remove God's rod from me, so that his terror would frighten me no more. Then I would speak up without fear of him. But as it now stands with me, I cannot. Look where Job is at this point, right? At this point, Job is at a point in his faith where he's recognizing, you know what, I can't do it alone. I can't stand on my own. I know that I cannot bring my cause before God by myself. I know that. He recognizes at this point, I need someone to step in. I need someone on my behalf. But here in chapter 9, he doesn't have hope in that. He knows this is what I need, but in chapter 9, he's saying, but it's not there. It's not provided. I can't come before God because there is no one who steps in on my behalf. In chapter 9, he's starting to see where his faith develops, that he knows what he needs, but he doesn't think it's there. He doesn't think it's available. He doesn't think that it exists. So he's still in that place of feeling a bit hopeless about it. Now, jump ahead just a few more chapters here, right, to chapter 16. He talks about it again, but look at where it's progressing. Look how a step of this comes forward. Chapter 16, just three verses out of that one. Here's what he says. Even now, my witness is in heaven. My advocate is on high. My intercessor is my friend as my eyes pour out tears to God. On behalf of a man, he pleads with God as one pleads for a friend. All right, this is a pretty remarkable development for just a few chapters back. That now we get to this place where, first of all, Job's faith recognizes he needs someone to be there for him on his behalf. And at that time, he didn't see where it was. Now, he's at a point of recognizing, you know what, something like this must exist. There is no other way. So there must be an intercessor. There must be a mediator. There must be an advocate. Someone who does step in on my behalf. Now he's accepting that. He's believing that. But it's not personal yet. Now, we don't catch that the way it comes in English. Because you know what? Twice in this passage, the words that I just read, he talks about a friend, right? That my advocate is my friend. So maybe we're jumping ahead to think, oh yeah, that's someone who knows him because a friend. It's the Hebrew word ri'ah, which more times than not in the Hebrew Old Testament is translated as neighbor, not friend. Neighbor, or often you find it translated as simply another. Another person. So I'm not really on with how the NIV has chosen to use the word friend there, because that's not what Job is really talking about. That's not where he's at yet. That this isn't really a friend, it's just, it's someone else. He's still at that point of recognizing, I can't be the one who comes before God. It has to be another. Someone besides me. And at this point, now he's convinced that there is in fact someone like that, because there is no other way except for that. But at this point in chapter 16, it is still disconnected. It doesn't bring him any closer to God. And notice this, here at this point in chapter 16, Job does not give us any indication if this mediator works, if it's successful. If, in fact, it will do anything for Job. He's not convinced of that yet, and you don't see evidence of that in this passage yet either, do you? See how it's progressing now? He starts from a place of, I'm all alone and I can't do this alone. I need someone, but no one's there. He moves to a point of, okay, there's no other way. There has to be someone there. But he's not convinced yet that it works. He's not convinced yet that he can be redeemed. He doesn't think that he's got everything it takes for this intercessor to actually step in on his behalf. That's where it's at. And then where we go in chapter 19. See where Job's faith progresses as it moves through this, where he says this, I know that my Redeemer lives and that in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Look at how Job's faith is progressing through this. Right? I mean, all these examples, a step at a time as he gradually goes. Now, here in 19, Job is at a point of recognizing this mediator restores me. I am redeemed. I will stand before God. That this mediator will be successful in being my redeemer, and the thing that will be restored is my connection to God. That Job and God will be connected again. You see that in those words. I will see God face to face. I with my own eyes. Job is progressing through this, and he moves through that a step at a time. Now, I just covered this in like 10 minutes just by pulling passages out here and there and there. If you've been reading through this, if you've been reading through these passages as we go, you get the better sense that this is just woven in, and it gets a little bit lost in the story, and it's gradual, and it's a bit back and forth. Right? Because if you're reading through this, some of the other words that happen between chapter 9 and chapter 16 and chapter 19 sort of feels like two steps forward, one step back kind of a thing. And isn't that true so often for us in our own lives of faith? Two steps forward, one step back. Three steps forward, five steps back. Another three steps forward. You see in Job, all of us, right? That we see a picture in Job of a developing faith that echoes who we are and where we're at. Now, ultimately, I mean, Job is pointing us forward into the New Testament. I don't think Job was aware of that. There's nothing in the story of Job itself to ever make us aware that Job knew at the time that he was being prophetic. We don't see any indication of that in the story of Job. Job is just talking about a mediator for himself. Here's me, and I'm stuck in my problem, and I need an advocate for me. I don't think Job has any sense in what he's saying here that this advocate he's talking about is actually a mediator, an intercessor, an advocate for everyone. Job doesn't understand that. But God is using these words that are written down and placed in the Old Testament, stitched together with so many other prophetic texts of the Old Testament to point us, right? Point us forward, that we are being shown something here, that Job's developing faith and a mediator is pointing us forward to Christ. All of this points us to the New Testament, into the Gospels, and that it's Jesus who steps in. Job doesn't know it at the time. He doesn't know that this mediator who steps in on behalf is actually the Son of God, Jesus. And it's actually a mediator who's not just stepping in for him, for Job, but a mediator who steps in for everyone who comes to God in faith. Everyone. I don't think Job was aware of that when he was saying those things, but God knew. God knew exactly the mediator that Job needed. Even though it took Job a long time and gradual steps to start to realize that and start to figure that out. But it comes to us in those gradual ways as well. It comes to us in those gradual ways as we see that happening as well. In fact, in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul talks about that. He talks about the way that faith develops over time. Look at what it says here. This from 2 Corinthians 3. The Apostle Paul says this. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So we see that as one of the things that we take away from this, right? One of the things we see in the story of Job is this, that faith in Christ as our Redeemer develops over time. That's the example of Job. I know we got lost in that because I just quick pulled together a few verses out of context there. But if you read it in the context of the story, you get it. This is something that just gradually happens for Job, and it takes some time to do that. I had an experience of back in the 90s when I was a youth pastor on the south side of Chicago, church there. So working with students and bringing students to a point of making profession of faith and that kind of thing. And I had an opportunity years later, long after I had left that position in that church, and one of those former students I had who is now married and has kids and lives here in West Michigan in the Holland area, and had an event where we actually connected and saw each other. And this was a person who said to me, you know, I remember when we did that thing and I made profession of faith back in the 90s, and what was I thinking? What was I thinking back then that I knew who I was or what faith was or how God worked and that kind of a thing? And my response to her was, good. Yes, perfect. Because what's the alternative? That your faith is not even one step further now, today, than it was back then? That's not how it works. We should always be people like that. We should always be people who, for those of you who have made profession of faith, you should be looking back at that time and saying, what was I thinking? Because we are people who grow in faith and it gradually develops. And even the Apostle Paul noted that for us here, right? That we are always being conformed into the image of Christ. That it is an ongoing journey for us. That's one thing that we see and that we're reminded of here in the story of Job. That this is a process that develops over time. Over time meaning that, you know what? You're further now than where you were before, and importantly, there's further to go. May we never reach a point where any one of us ever says, I got it now, it's all figured out, I'm there, right? Just close it off because I've arrived. That's not how it works. It's not how it worked for Job, and it's not how it works for us either. We're always leaning into that. The Holy Spirit is always working at us as we do that. And then we see this next thing that happens through that, through this example of Job. Job recognizes that he needs a mediator, right? And that's important for us too, that we're all in that place along with Job. We all need a mediator who will step in on our behalf. We know and we understand because we read the story of Job now in light of the Gospels. We know who that mediator is. We know who our advocate and our intercessor is. We know that Jesus has come to take our place, to take all the guilt of our sin, to take that to the cross, and there at the cross, to take that away from us and then make an exchange. And at the cross, we are given the perfect righteousness of Christ. We know that happens because we see that in the Gospels. But we need to be reminded of that. Reminded that we need that. That it's not just icing on the cake or, you know, a bonus along the way. Without that, we have nothing. We're nowhere. We cannot come before God. Without Christ as our mediator, we are exactly in the place where we see Job, stuck with no way out, no answer, no solution. Now, I can read that in two ways, though. That's important for us for a couple of reasons. First of all, it's personal. I need a mediator. That's where I'm at. I can't have anything of my own that brings me before God. I need Jesus to be the one who steps in on my behalf. That's important. It's also important to recognize the broader sense of community around that. It's not just me. I'm not the only one who needs Jesus as the mediator to step in. We all do. All of us. That's important. Here's why it's important. Because there's not any ranking that takes place then. We're all in the same place. We're all stuck where Job is stuck. It never allows me to create a hierarchy of who's the better Christian. That hierarchy doesn't exist. Because at the end of the day, we're all in the same spot and it all comes down to Jesus, who is there for us on our behalf. Now, I mean, you look at these two things together, and you get a sense of how this weaves together in a little bit of a complex way. We are people on a journey of sanctification. Our faith is developing. And as our faith develops, you know what? It's okay to acknowledge that we are all at a different place of faith because faith develops over time. So as people who are being redeemed by God through the Holy Spirit, sanctified through that, we may be in different places at different times. But even so, before God, our status before God comes down to just Jesus and only Jesus. And we're all in the same place there before Jesus, knowing and acknowledging that. So may we, like Job, acknowledge those same words he does, that we know we have a Redeemer. Like Job, may we acknowledge, we know our Redeemer lives. And like Job, may we acknowledge that we will see our Redeemer face to face. Let's pray together. God, thank you for your word. And Lord, thank you for the way that your word so clearly shows us how we are in the same places as the people we read about in these stories. So God, we need to first of all ask for forgiveness. Forgiveness for times when maybe we've tried to manage this on our own, and we've tried to be our own advocate. We've tried to be our own intercessor. And God, help us to understand, like Job, that doesn't work, that we cannot come before you on our own by ourselves in our own strength. Lord, help us also then to understand that as we grow in faith, that more and more we understand that it is Jesus through us who brings us before you. So may the story of our lives always be a story that says it is Christ through us and only Christ through us that we come before you. And may that be our core identity, who we are, Christ through us. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.